So thankful for your presence today. We have many guests with us, and we're so thankful that you've decided to be here when you could be other places today. So we're thankful for your being here. So thankful to see Betty Mayo with us and having a very mild stroke, but she's doing a lot better. So we're so thankful for to see her today. Also, Kim Waller's back with us and mobile and getting her recovery from her knee replacement. So good to see her. And so many others. So we're thankful for everyone here this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day. Continue to pray for Manny Pagnapalli and his work. He is very overwhelmed at this time and many struggles that he's facing. And as was he mentioned this morning in his post on Facebook concerning many of the people they've been praying for and there at the school where he works have passed away. All of them that he mentioned recently have passed away. And they are still desperate for oxygen canisters and all the things that go into providing oxygen for those COVID patients. And some of the delivery has been delayed and facing various struggles and some things we can't really fathom here, even at the worst, as we dealt with the COVID situation. So keep Manny in your prayers. Continue to think about him, the address. If you'd like to send some funds to help that work, it's there on the front of the bulletin that you can do that. And he will be greatly appreciative of any support that you're able to give him. Let's go to our Father for a word of prayer. Lord, we are thankful to be here and be alive to enjoy this day that you have made. This is the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the day in which your Son was raised from the dead, having conquered death, having fulfilled his purpose on this earth. He's returned to you and seated at your right hand. And so we meet today in which to worship, to remember your Son and the Lord's Supper, to sing praises to you, to open your word and study, to encourage one another as we see the day drawing near, as we see our eternal home in the near future. We have just a few days on this earth in which to love and to live and to share your word and your message, the gospel, to others, and to be a bright light for Christ, and help us to use those opportunities for good. We know that many are suffering and dying in India. We know that they need your help. They need your healing and your comfort and encouragement. And give strength and encouragement to Manny Pagnapalli and all those who work with him to serve the people in his area. We're thankful that you bless those among us who have been ill lately. We're thankful for your concern for them. We know that this life is unpredictable. We do not know what tomorrow holds, but we know that you can see all of life, and you know our hearts and our minds, and know us in a way no one else does. So we lean on you for understanding and hope for the future. Bless us today in all that we do, that it be to your glory and according to your will. Give us the grace and mercy we desperately need. Forgive us when we sin. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to think this morning about trust. I want to begin by going back and looking at a story from history probably I'm familiar with. It was 1801. And the country of Prussia, which doesn't exist today, had just fallen to the French. Prussia is basically Eastern Europe. Around Germany, about that part of Europe, from there eastward into Russia, that we know today as Russia, was the area of Prussia. And of course, the borders have been redrawn so many times since then, but basically Eastern Europe. They had just fallen to the French, and not done so well, and they were basically bankrupt, and so were the French. As a matter of fact, a couple of years later, they didn't need some land over here, so we bought it very cheaply in 1803 and basically doubled the size of our country to help out the French in their financial situation. But King Frederick William III had the same problem in Prussia about what to do with their depleted finances. And so he thought, well, I don't want to raise taxes on people and create a new burden for them after fighting for so long. And I don't want to begin some other war trying to conquer some land and gain finances that way to put back in our coffers. How do we raise money? How can we get back on our feet? What's the best way to go about this? And so he had an idea. He said, what if I just ask all the women, particularly the women, because he said, I'm going to ask them, the female citizens of Prussia, to donate to the country, donate to the government, their jewelry, their fine metals, particularly their gold. And maybe they'll just donate these things and we can melt them for gold and we can restore our finances that way. Just a volunteer system. Well, it worked incredibly well. The women did go into their boxes at home and find the jewelry, maybe not all of it, but a lot of what they had, and they donated it and helped the cause. Kind of reminds us around World War II of women doing things like that and citizens here trying to help the war effort with the bonds and all those things people did. And you think, why would they do that? What was the motivation? What were they getting out of this? To give up their own wealth, their own finances? Well, they found out that the reason a lot of the women were doing this is because in return for giving their gold, they would get a little coin from the king, and it said on there, I gave my gold for this piece of iron. 1801. And they were very proud of that. I got this little piece of iron from the king for giving him my gold. They got a lesser medal for giving up their best. But the medal didn't matter. The pride was in the fact that they got something from the king. So they were willing to give up their best. I think we, as Christians, often do the same or should try to do the same, and the Bible teaches us to do the same. It's to say, I have resources. I have time, which we all have, and we all have some sort of material blessing. I have a talent. I have this thing that God has given me, because James says every good and perfect gift is from above. I have this. And it's valuable on this earth, but nowhere else than on this earth is this valuable. It's not valuable in eternity. We cannot take it with us. But while I am here, I'm going to give this valuable thing to the Lord in the service of the King. We think in those terms, and what we return back, what we get back, of course, is not a lesser medal that has an inscription on it. We are storing up our treasures, as Jesus said, in heaven. And our return is eternal life. We trust that God is going to do that. We put our faith in the promises of Scripture. We see on this earth, as we do those things, the benefit of doing those things. But one day we will stand before the Lord and we see our ultimate reward as he says, enter into the joys of your master. But the question remains, how do you trust God? You're not giving him something for a medal in return. How do you trust God on a daily basis? I think we have the answer in Philippians chapter 4. If you will turn to Philippians chapter 4, we'll look at just about 13 verses here, a very familiar passage. But here you're going to see, I think, some things that the Apostle Paul brings out and say, here's how you trust him. Here's how you will think about God in your daily life. Here is how you will be motivated by God to make those sacrifices and serving him. Here's how you go about it. Here's a formula, if you will, even though we don't like to think of our service as Christians as a formula, a math problem that has, you know, equals something. It's not so rigid. But there are things, some principles that Paul brings out here that are very easy to understand. When we do those things, I think we'll trust him more. And we'll say, I will sacrifice whatever it takes to receive that reward one day. And be like the Apostle Paul who said, there's a crown laid up for me. My reward is laid up for me. The Lord will give it to me. I have confidence in that. First of all, we praise him. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul gives a command. This inspired apostle in writing gives a command where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Rejoice, again I say rejoice. Philippians is the book of rejoice or joy. It's here about 13 times in this book. You'll see the word joy or rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord every now and then. Nope. Rejoice in the Lord when you're having a good day. Nope. When you get that raise, you can rejoice in the Lord. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. We always rejoice. Same kind of language is used. We're told to pray without ceasing. There's never a time in life where we say, well, this is not worthy of a prayer. There's not a time in life where we cannot rejoice. We do rejoice at funerals. You say, how does that happen? Because we look back and we rejoice that this person blessed our life in this way. It's a type of rejoice. We can rejoice when we are at our weakest. We rejoice when we're ill. We rejoice in these things. How do we do that? We tend to think of joy and rejoicing as we're laughing and we're carefree. It's not necessarily about those things. How many times have you been in a hospital and you sit there and think, I'm so thankful that that person and that person and that person are talented and experienced in their job to know the pill that I'm supposed to take. So thankful that I had this friend who came by to help me out when I lost my job. It wasn't fun to be sick. I wasn't rejoicing in that. I wasn't rejoicing in losing my job. I was rejoicing in all the ways God blessed me as I live this life of sin and death. Rejoice in the Lord always. He said, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Psalm 42, we can look at the entire book of Psalms related to rejoicing in the Lord. But Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, While they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember and pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? He asks a question about himself. He's going to answer his own question. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. For the help of his presence. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Nisar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. The psalmist is saying, boy, I have despair in my soul. This thing is not right. This day has not been good. I am troubled. I am upset. And then he says, but then I think about that place over there, Mount Miser. I think about the other side of the Jordan. I think about all the times you blessed my life. I think about your loving kindness rolling over me. So the psalmist could say, I rejoice in the Lord always. We must rejoice in the Lord. And it's a shame when many Christians, believers in Christ, those who have obeyed the gospel, only find their joy in the things of the world. They do not find their joy in God. They do not find joy in being with Christians. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. That can't be true. It's true every day. They find their joy in their leisure activities. Their real joy in life is work. The real joy in life is doing anything but being around the people of God and doing things related to faith. Those things are considered to be troublesome, a burden. I have to, got to go do this with the church. Need to go to Bible study. Be glad when that's over so I can get back to this over here. People rejoice in a lot of things, but often do not rejoice in the Lord. And so that's the question you have to answer every day, is where do you find true joy? We should enjoy the world that God made. We need to have leisure. We need to enjoy all the blessings that God gives us. But as we do, remember that they are from the Lord. Remember the source. And that the things of God and things of a spiritual nature are of utmost importance. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Then we have to pray to him. To develop a trust in God, you have to praise him, but then you also have to pray to him. Verses 6 and 7 of Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Worry and prayer rarely go together. They do go together at the beginning of worry. So obviously, when someone is worried, they pray more. But when they rarely go together, it's when there's hand-wringing and there's a lot of thinking and there's, I don't know what I'm going to do and I don't know what's next. And it's when the worry overshadows the prayer and it's all about worry. The prayer stops and the worry increases. Every worry should be matched with a prayer. Prayer should overwhelm the worry. When great concern comes up in life, when we feel like there's pain on the horizon, we act like Jesus. There was pain on his horizon. There was going to be pain at the cross, and he knew that. So he spent the whole night before praying. And he said, the greatest thing I need at this time of my life is for your will to be done. That was his prayer. But we sadly rarely use prayer as a remedy for anxiety. Now, I'm not talking about clinical anxiety. I'm not talking about something so severe that there needs to be medical intervention of some kind. But when you deal with somebody who is burdened, when you deal with somebody who is at the depths of a situation in their life, there has to be a discussion of prayer. Because in these two verses, the Apostle Paul says, in everything, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what comes from that? What is the result? Why do that? The next verse, and the peace of God that you can't explain, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, peace of God you can't wrap your mind around, peace of God that you can't explain, I don't know how he got me through this, well, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You've seen a bumper sticker or something online that says, you have survived your worst days. Every one of you have been at a point in life, someday in your life, some terrible situation and say, I'm not going to make it. This is going to be too much. Some it's a relationship situation. Some may have been in a job situation with war, being a soldier, whatever. But you've survived all of them. And if I were to be asked you about them, if you were to be honest, you really wouldn't know how you did it. I don't know how I got through that. I don't know how they got through that. I don't know how my son, my daughter, I don't know how we got through that terrible thing. Well, when that's how you see it, you just confirm Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You have to guard your heart and your mind with prayer. Let that be on your mind. Everything else is on your mind. But let the prayer overwhelm the worry. But then he goes on to say you have to purify that mind. You got to get some things out of your mind. And input some things that are much more productive in verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Two verses from the book of Proverbs also go along with what Paul said here. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as a man thinks within himself, so he is. You ever notice that someone's demeanor is often reflected by the things they think about all day? I see it all the time. Somebody that's dealing with negative, moving to negative, they watch on television, they watch on the internet, they surround themselves with, you have a negative person. And you wonder why they always talk about negative things. You always wonder why everything is falling apart, nothing's right with the world. What do they look at all day? What are they thinking about all day? What are they consumed with? Well, it's going to come out. And the opposite is true. those who focus and think about all the things Paul mentioned here, what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good reputation, and any excellence, and anything worthy of praise. I love that phrase at the end, and we often move straight past that when we don't spend enough time thinking about it. He says, there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise. We need to spend more time looking at something somebody did, something that is doesn't have to be some huge accomplishment, but just anything that somebody did that's good, from the smallest thing to the largest thing, and say, that is an excellent thing, and that should be praised. We have become a very jealous people, very envious. We compare and compare and compare, and it's very difficult these days for people to look at somebody else and say, good job, I'm glad you have that, I'm glad that worked out for you. That's great. Whether that's because of the internet, whether it's because of entertainment, I'm not sure. But it's very difficult for many people today to praise others, because they're thinking, when am I going to get the praise? The Apostle Paul said we need to be praising excellence. That's a good thing to do. You're thinking about that. You're not going to spend a lot of time about thinking about what you don't have and your own deficiencies. And to purify our minds. And then finally, we need to be pleased by Him and just simply look at the Lord and say, I trust Him for these things. Look at beginning of verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord. Paul says, you need to rejoice, and I did the same thing. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, if you were concerned before, but you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want. He said, you've blessed me, but let me be clear about something. I did not need a blessing simply because nothing good ever happened to me. And I'm just a pitiful beggar on the side of the road. Don't ever look at me that way. Yeah, you blessed me because I needed some things that I was hurting. But notice he says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. He said, let me explain it to you. I know how to get along with humble means. Learn how to do that. I also know how to live in prosperity. I handle those situations too. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. I know how to manage both situations. I am thankful that you blessed my life. But I figured it all out. It's a secret because a lot of people don't know it. That's what a secret is, right? I learned the secret of how to live on rice and beans, and I know the secret of how to live when the bank account is full. A lot of people don't know the secret of both having abundance and suffering need in verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I figured it out. So I trust God. If I trust man, man can steal my money. Man can call me names. Man can change his mind. Man can be cruel. Man can do all sorts of things to me. Can't put all my trust there. But I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. How do you feel when your children are ungrateful? You say you do all these things and you sacrifice your life, your comforts for them. And then they have moments of ungratefulness, sometimes a life. And those children grow up and spend the rest of their lives being very ungrateful. How does that feel? Well, as God's children, how does God feel if we express ungratefulness? God sends His Son. God gives us His Word. God gives us the church. God allows it to rain on the just and the unjust. Gives us every good and perfect gift. And then we say, well, I'm not really pleased by God. No, I wish God would do more for me. You know what? If God does this, then I'm going to do this for Him. As if He hasn't done enough to this point. He just needs to do a little bit more for me. You can see why that would be a terrible sin. The Apostle Paul said, not me. Because I have figured out the secret of living in any situation in life. I don't need to be rich. And I can live being poor. Because I have Jesus to get through all those situations. If you feel unblessed, is it a matter of not enough? Or is it just a matter of one too much? I think most of the time it's a matter of one too much. It's not a matter of not being blessed. Just we think we just got to have more. Or just have a little more. Then I'll be happy. Just be blessed this way. Then things will be just right. We're blessed every day by the Lord. We need to trust Him. Paul gives us these things in Philippians chapter 4, saying, we praise Him, pray to Him, we're pleased by Him, we do all these things. We'll be confident and what we do each day in serving Him. We will think about Him. We'll be motivated. And just like those citizens of Prussia, we'll say, I'll give whatever the Lord needs. Because what I give from Him is so much better. If you're outside of Christ this morning and not been obedient to the gospel by being baptized into Christ, your obedience will come with great reward. In this life, it may come with a measure of persecution. But it will absolutely come with great reward and eternal life in heaven. Your sins will be washed away by the blood of Christ. The Lord will add you to the church. You begin your walk with Him as He continually cleanses your sins each day. You need prayers this morning or something else that may be on your heart or your mind, we'd love to pray with you today and try to give you that bit of encouragement as you go about this week. Whatever it may be, please come while we stand and sing.